listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. The following program may contain adult themes, discussion, and content that some people may find offensive. If you consider yourself likely to be offended, then perhaps you'd like to tune to another frequency for the next hour. If you have any feedback or would like to see information about our other shows, please go online to radioreverb.com.
Ooh, good evening.
Good evening.
We're here in the studio.
We are, and I'm here.
Yes, you are. Yay. Hi, Sue. Hi, Josh.
Hello, hello, Sue.
Hello, me.
How do you feel being here in the studio?
I know. It's been a little few months, isn't it?
It has,
been
yes.
busy and around, or if I'm not busy and around, I'm on holiday.
Yeah.
I know. Gallivanting around.
But it's lovely to
gallivanting.
Be
I love
back
that word,
gallivanting.
Yes,
in the studio.
Yeah, welcome to the HRV Hour on this Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. We've got a great interview today, but it's a bit of a rush, well, not rush show, but... let's go around the room to see how everyone is first before we do go on with the show. How are you, David?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, well, I've just got over a little bit of a feverish, coldy thing that's lasted the best part of a week, but gave me the opportunity to catch up on a few sort of household tasks that, well, sorting out things on the computer, really. Nothing too strenuous. But yeah, I went through the World Words for Wellbeing workshop with Lunch Positive, so I've been enjoying that very much so. So we've been doing poetry and free creative writing, and there's a good bunch of people in a nice safe
turnout.
Space.
Nice.
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah, it's about six, eight of us, including the facilitator. Good mixture of different ages. We're all men, but I suppose it's quite representative of the crowd that goes to Lunch Positive. Mm-hmm. I hope that they do another one in months to come, actually,
because
it's really good. And the group size is just perfect, actually, for what we're discussing. And we discuss some... Nothing's off topic. It's good. I'll tell you more about it another time.
Yeah, we had Simon on a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
How are you, Sue? What have you been doing?
Quite a lot of things have happened in the last couple of months. I've just recently, when I say recently, come back from holiday, and just before that I moved again. I know, I've had more homes and hot dinners, but I'm sort of, and obviously straight back into work, and obviously, dare we say, getting ready for World AIDS Day, so haven't stopped, but I like it like that.
It's getting quicker, isn't it? It's like a couple of months away, isn't it? So it's going to, I'm all right. I've asked myself again. I always seem to be asked myself.
How are you, Josh?
I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm all right. Just, again, it's that time of year. It's autumn time, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the leaves are going red.
Actually, when I left the house this evening, I smelled bonfires in the distance.
When do the clocks change?
End of October.
End of October, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. We're still in it. Sorry, yes.
I know, it's weird, isn't
it? Not rushing it away.
We could do an extra lie in, though. An extra hour would just do it perfect, wouldn't it?
I think it's because the weather's been up and down, and so we don't know whether we're coming or going.
Yeah.
So, the show. So, we've got a great interview with a lady called Lexi Davis.
Mm-hmm.
She is a volunteer for Terence Higgins Trust Works and Skills program. So, but she's got a great story, hasn't she, Sue? Because we did the interview a couple of days ago.
We did. We had an amazing interview, and what an amazing lady. What a journey.
She has
been diagnosed with HIV for 30 years. Ah. Gosh, you know, I personally thought I'd been through stuff, David, but this lady, she has been back and forth through the tumble dryer and just come out all dry. She's come out standing, got two gorgeous children. The controversial thing about this interview is, David, is... she's decided, and this is a complete personal choice, not to take her medication.
Right. Now, HIV medication.
So her HIV medication. And it is her personal choice her decision, isn't it, Josh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what we would like to do before we air the interview is just really establish that anyone living with HIV, the recommendation is you take your medication. The medication is the only thing that will stop the virus from reproducing in the body. The medication is the only thing that will stop the virus being passed on to anybody else.
Yeah.
So whereas Alexis is her own personal decision and choice, the recommendation, we just need to establish the recommendation in the UK is anyone now living with HIV is on medication. And hey, look at all the great new things that are going to be coming up.
Yes,
the injectables, the one pill a day, the one pill a week, the one pill a, you know, all this this great. And just quickly before we go on to that, Josh, there is a lot of help and support for people who are having trouble and having issues and problems about taking their medication. At this moment, please shout out. But a fantastic interview, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy and be empowered what this lady has been through.
Yeah. And it's just good to get that disclaimer and to stay at that. So, Lexi chose two songs, so we'll play off a song and then we'll go into the interview. So, enjoy. This is More Than Words by Extreme.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour. That was Extreme, More Than Words, which is one of the favourite tracks of our next guest, which is Lexi Davis, who is the one of the co-facilitators of the amazing Work and Skills project from Terence Higgins Trust. Hi, Lexi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Josh. Hello to you.
Yeah, thank you. Sue's here, and we thank you for coming on, Sue. It's nice to have a Zoom meeting again, isn't it? It's been a while, hasn't it?
I know. Oh, we're back to the Zoom days. Do you remember those very early Zoom days? We much relied on them, didn't we?
Yes. It's part of it now, isn't it, Lexi, all this Zooming? And
It is. It's a part of my daily routine now, to be fair.
Fantastic. Good, though. So thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Could you let our listeners know a little bit about your background and your HIV journey from the start, really?
Yeah, well, the reason I chose Extreme More Than Words is, well, it says it in the words, really. We're all looking for love. And I think deep down, our souls recognise it even when it's not spoken. And that song resonates with me deeply. I have actually prepared a little talk, if you like. I've come prepared. I have. Well, you know, work and skills, you got to do these things. So if I read that out, and then just feel free to ask me anything afterwards.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. In the summer of 1990, as an 18-year-old in her first work placement at business college, I met and fell in love with the taxi driver who drove me to and from the station to work every day, Philip Stewart Brewster. 6 months into our relationship, one failed condom on the 29th of January 1991, and in early March I tested positive for HIV. Upon receiving my diagnosis at the age of 19, I was told, live every day as if it's your last, you won't reach 30. I'm now in my 50s. He was not the faithful type and went on to infect others, but true to my word, in 1994 I reconnected with him at his final stage of his life. Together we arranged his funeral and prepared for the inevitable, until on the 1st of March 1994, holding his hand, I watched on as his mother said goodbye to her son. Sadly, the majority of relationships I had were not healthy ones, and my HIV coupled with my childhood trauma gave me an air of desperation, resulting in abuse, rape, domestic violence and trauma, a victim mentality that remained for decades. I punished myself as much as society did, accepting this treatment to be normal and incorporating it into my life in every capacity. I saw myself as undeserving, all of my achievements tainted with this belief. I have faced stigma and discrimination in all areas of my life, relationships, NHS, employers, family court, social care, DWP, the list goes on. I have two beautiful daughters, Lilybeth born in 2006 and Rosie Maria in 2010, both born via C-section with undetectable viral loads. Although born with my antibodies, they went on to test as negative at 2 years old. As toddlers, I taught my children not to touch mummy if she was bleeding, as I had bad blood. Not the best thing to be encouraging my children to say to me, let alone for me to say to myself, especially as my viral load was undetectable and had been since my commencement of antiretrovirals in the summer of 97. My girls have watched me get up when being repeatedly knocked down, Now, as young adults, they are proud to share my status, despite the risk of this being detrimental to them. Their love gives me the strength to overcome any obstacles in my way. I have faced my fears, including their father, allowing us to co-parent successfully and our differences healed. Following the untimely death of my estranged second husband in April 23, I hit rock bottom and turned to Terence Higgins Trust. Up until then, this journey had been mine to travel alone. I attended every workshop and support group available, gaining knowledge, answers to my questions, and meeting incredible, inspirational people on the way. This experience ignited the skills I had long since forgotten. My confidence grew along with my authenticity. My journey as a participant changed and I became a volunteer. I'm currently co-facilitating Before 96 and various workshops surrounding work and skills. I was also involved in the preparatory process of the recently launched My Community platform and regularly attend Common Bond, a women's group. I happily share my story and knowledge that I have gleaned along the way, hoping to inspire others to do the same. Conscious that I do not fit the criteria needed to match THT, U equals U campaign, undetectable equals untransmissible. And as such, I cannot represent the company as my true authentic self. I am unmedicated, a decision made in 2019, one which was met with much fear and trepidation. 5 years on, I remain unmedicated and have chosen to give my body a break from the side effects of antiretrovirals and adopt an alternative approach, self-love through self-care. My family and friends are fully supportive, the fear has gone, and so too has the stigma and judgment. I hope that one day I can say this to be true for all. My message to future generations diagnosed with HIV is to love yourself, face your fear and embrace your virus. It is a part of you and as such deserves your acceptance and love. THT has been a fabulous stepping stone on my journey of self-healing. I choose the path of authenticity and know that when opportunities present themselves for me to shine, I am ready. My girls have my back and they believe, as do I, that Mama's got this.
Wow. Amazing.
Lexi, what can I say?
Yeah,
what
thank you. I was going to ask Sue if he wants to go first, actually.
Yeah. So inspirational and so many things that triggered me as a woman myself, living with HIV for nearly 20 years. What a journey you have been on. It seems like a journey of self-discovery. Would you call it self-discovering? Discovering that the true you, Lexi, what would you say about that?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I think there are so many people around with unhealed trauma. And when my husband died, I was devastated. We separated a few weeks before he died. I found out he was cheating, so I basically walked away. To find out weeks later that he had died, the inquest found it to be an accidental morphine overdose. But strangely enough, he wasn't actually on morphine. So it was all very complicated and very heartbreaking. And I didn't attend his funeral due to the hatred I received from his family. Right. So the family that were mine for 7 years suddenly disappeared. And I had to deal with my children's grief, my grief, the grief of the loss of my marriage, let alone the grief of the loss of the person themselves. That was a pretty tough time in my life, but it made me go inward. And I'm totally grateful for his behavior in the fact that I found self-love. I found myself. The betrayal was triggering, and as such I went within.
Sometimes things, dramatic experiences, can set you off on a journey to introspectively, doesn't it? And I think that happened to me. Listen to you. Yeah, so interesting. It does do that.
Yeah. Well, you do. You just, I think you have to investigate your shadow side, because we all have toxic traits. And it's all very easy to blame somebody else, but I take responsibility for my part in the failures of everything that I've been party to. And I faced my toxic behaviors. I faced my fears. I now co-parent with my abuser. We're actually really good friends. And I never in a million years thought I'd do that, but it was one of the hardest things I did. But for the love of my children, it was something I was prepared to do. And I'm not looking back. I choose to be alone while I'm on this healing journey, because until I'm healed, I want to attract somebody like-minded. I'm fed up with attracting, you know, the toxic side of me. It's done and dusted, and I'm moving on.
You mentioned your children, Lexi. I mean, you know, we do, you know, as parents, as women, as, you know, people who have children, we do the most strangest things to protect them, don't we? The lie, I remember, you know, I lied to my daughter for many years about my status, and that was all to do with my self-worth and me not feeling I deserved to talk about anything like that to my daughter. So I get that feeling that there's a great lot of protection for your children, and, you know, as they were growing up.
Definitely. And with the domestic violence, I fled my abuser when my youngest was 11 months old. So she did all her firsts in a women's refuge. And then I spent a 10-year cycle of social care, family courts, and my HIV was used against me in ways that you wouldn't believe, to the point where I lost custody of my eldest to my abuser. And in facing my fears and facing him, through conversations, we both realized that we were both acting from wounded children, a place of trauma, and we were doing what we felt was best at the time. And all we did was bleed all over our children and cause them trauma. So now we're in the process of, we can't fix it, but we can manage it, and we can move forward together. You know, you don't have to be together as a family. You can do it without the relationship side of things. You just, it's co-parenting. It's what parents owe to their little humans that they've brought into the world.
Of course. And we're so much responsible in so many different shapes and forms to make sure, you know, I think one of, do you think about, you don't want what you went through, your children to go through. Is that a natural reaction for you yourself, Alexi?
It is. I've realised that I transferred a lot of my fears and insecurities onto my children, totally unbeknownst to me. But obviously there are repeating patterns in families, and I'm here to break the cycle. If not, my children are. And that's my goal, is to teach them how to love themselves, teach them to listen to their intuition, teach them that not just because you're told to do something doesn't mean, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it, and ask questions. If something doesn't make sense, ask questions, just keep asking questions. And then you don't have to accept something that doesn't resonate with you. It's not the law. We all have free will. We all have, you know, it's a basic human right.
And it's living like that, isn't it? It's living truthfully yourself.
Yeah.
Different, aren't we? We all have different journeys, and we all have different situations and growing up. So it's just living your truth, I think, and just brilliant, Lexi.
Definitely. I mean, I've messed up. I say to my kids, you know, I'm really sorry. Forgive me. But I can't change the past. I was doing the best I felt I could at the time, but I was coming from a wounded place myself. So now we're all healing. And I say to them, you know, we've got so much to unlearn, and I'm unlearning too. So give me some slack, and we'll get through this together. And my girls are amazing. I love them to bits. And, you know, I got something right.
How old are your girls again?
My eldest, Lilybeth, is 18 in November.
Wow. Okay.
And, And she's just completed level 3 art at Brockenhurst College. She's a phenomenal artist, apparently was my mother's father, which I didn't know. He was a famous artist in Australia, so I had no idea. Sorry.
You carry on, Lexi.
Oh, and my youngest is just turned 14 in August. Yeah, she's been fantastic. She's been my carer for many years. Obviously, she's too young to be recognised for that. We've had many issues with schools and because we live alone. We've had all sorts of problems. And obviously, her stepdad was in her life from when she was very little. So we've had the grief of that. But yeah, she's a diamond. She's a feisty little thing. And I let her be her. She's into this clown makeup and stuff. And some of the outfits and stuff she wears, but my God, she's you see people looking at her, there's a lot of judgment, but there's a lot of the elderly come up and say, can I take a picture, you're such an inspiration. And I think, you know, the elderly, they live with regret because of what they didn't do, the opportunities they let pass, the constraints they were held under. And I just think, I want my kids to be who they're meant to be, not following my footsteps. They're not carbon copies of me. I want to be the example to inspire them to be the best that they can be.
And obviously they're very aware of your status. How do they feel about HIV? Mm-hmm. Have they got all the up-to-date information? Tell us.
Well, they have, and they're so proud of me. And when Terence Higgins do promotions like a tote bag, my youngest took it in for her PE bag, and of course she was met with, oh, you've got AIDS. And the school did nothing about it. And I said, you need to educate. Why are you judging my child? Even my eldest at an assembly, they talked about HIV and she put her hand up and she went, my mum's got that. And they rang her dad to make sure she wasn't lying.
Oh, God.
And I just thought, what is going on? Yeah. And even, they have no problems with disclosing my status. They say it with pride and with their head held high. And nine times out of 10, everyone assumes they've got it too.
Gosh, blimey. I'm intrigued. I think you are as well, Josh. I'm intrigued when you done your introduction, you spoke about your medication. And tell us a bit. Tell us a bit more about that. I'm intrigued. We're intrigued.
Well, sadly, I was going through the social care system and I just had enough. I was just, every few months I was back in court. I was being abused by the judges, telling me that it didn't matter what he did to you. He's got a right to see his children. I lost everything and I reinvented myself just to be told 2 years on that I need to get over it. And, your kids are what matter. You don't. So I actually ceased medication to unalive myself. And the hospital told me that if I didn't go back on medication, they'd have social care remove my children. So I went back on it and I collapsed. And then I stopped again. And I just thought, obviously that didn't work because I was told by my consultant there are other ways to kill yourself. And I said, I don't want to kill myself. I just want to die. I want an end to this hamster wheel of a life. And it just, the fear, I was met with so much fear. And I think it was, the thing that shocked me the most is I wasn't frightened, but they were frightened that I wasn't frightened, which was really bizarre. Anyway, I conformed for a bit and... And then obviously COVID hit and I refused all the vaccinations. I've never had a vaccination. I have had COVID, but to be fair, I've had flu worse. And I thought, for some reason, I'm still here. And actually, my viral load went from 58,000 copies to below 3,000. And my CD4 was balanced. So I was looking at these results thinking this is fantastic. But every time I went to the hospital, they were pushing the meds and trying to frighten me. And I was just like, look at me. I'm really well. What they forget is from 91 to 97, I had no meds and I was really poorly. So I know the difference. I know the difference. So, So
how long has it been, Lexi? How long has it been you've been off medication now then?
5 years. 2019 I stopped. So I tried a couple of things, but I had a psychotic episode on one medication. So I just stopped. I thought, this isn't for me. This isn't for me. I'm not doing this anymore. I've tried it for 22 years. It's not like I didn't give it a try. But the side effects were so damaging. And I was one of the early guinea pigs, if you like.
Yeah.
The drugs have come a long way. But the damage has already been done. And I'm hoping to reverse that damage. And the way I'm going, I mean, I've changed my diet. I use essential oils. I meditate. I've accepted. I've actually made friends with my virus. I love my virus. It's made me who I am today. All of the experiences I've had as a result of having the virus have made me a really formidable character, and I'm going to embrace that. Now I just, you know, I just talk to it, and I say to people, as far as I'm concerned, my virus is sitting in the colouring fort with my inner child. They're very happy.
They're giving it a name. It's got a name.
here's a bit of a diverse question. If you met somebody today, okay, and this is a question, okay?
Yeah.
If you met someone that has been newly diagnosed with HIV, okay, what would your advice be to that person, just out of interest? I mean, you're amazing, you know, for what you do, and you're not on medication and it's your informed choice. What would you say to someone that's just been recently diagnosed?
I would say grieve. The first thing you need to do is grieve. Grieve for everything that you've lost, your dreams, your hopes, your aspirations, and go through the motions of grief. Then step into your authentic self, go heal your inner child, love yourself, and from there your soul will know what journey it needs to take, be it medication, be it not. But either way, you have to go through those emotions to actually get your mental health in a place where you can accept what has happened. The fact that there are so many support services out there which weren't there. I didn't fit the criteria in the 90s. I wasn't gay. There was very little known about women.
Exactly.
It was very, very tough. And I hid in the shadows. And as I say, my journey, I've only reached out a couple of years ago. So for 30-odd years, I travelled the path alone. And it was tough. And it was... you know, overthinking and judgmental and self-critical and all of that. And I didn't learn to grieve. And I actually found a book called Healing Grief by James Van Praagh, and I recommend it to everybody. And it deals with everything from losing your marriage, losing your friend, losing a child. And I read that book from cover to cover, and I embraced all of the emotions that I had pent up inside of me.
We have to go through that. We have to go through those stages of grief, don't we? Because everything can make you have some grief, can't it? Even losing a job or anything, isn't it? Moving house, anything. And sometimes we just don't want to deal with it, so we push it away. Yeah. And
exactly.
Your story is very best. It's not your just dealing with trying to understand who you are and that spiritual journey and being yourself. I can recognize that in myself, what you've said. So it's really Can we just talk about THT, because it's coming up to the end of the interview, unfortunately. So I know we've gone forever, can we? So I met you on the cohort. I was on the cohort, I think it started in May, didn't it? And you were the, as you said at the beginning, the co-facilitator for the Working Skills Project. But you did it the year before, didn't you? So that's where you started.
I did. I found it incredible. It reawakened my vision of me as I had dreamed I could be. But I'd shelved all of those dreams. And I was just, when I wrote my CV, I was like, oh my God, I can do this. I can do it. Oh my God, I forgot about that. You know, and I just think it reopened my eyes to the magnificence of who I am and that who I'd forgotten. I remembered who I am, and that's and that was phenomenal. And Phil and Laura, who do the course, are beautiful people. And the people who attended, you could see the change in them from the beginning to the end. That was my buzz.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So would you, I mean, so what's happening in the future, actually? Lexi, what are you carrying on?
What next? What's next?
Who knows? I have done, recently I did a research interview with a clinical psychologist, I believe he was, from a university that are doing a study on mental health and women living with HIV. And I did an amazing interview. I'm open to any offers, whatever opportunities present themselves. I'm ready.
There's a shout out there, Sue.
I know. I already know. Alexa's already on my mind at the moment. What else we could add on to her amazing things she's been doing. So,
bless you. I look forward to that, Sue.
Watch this space, indeed. Absolutely. It's gone out of my head. Sue, do you want to ask a question? I can edit this out.
Thank goodness. I mean, you've had a 30-year journey as a white heterosexual woman. I've got that right, yeah?
Yeah.
Living with HIV. And, you do come from the era that, I still, even just under 20 years, I still get people saying to me, but you're not gay. Even now. I think I've said that to you before, Josh, hasn't it?
It's ingrained in your psyche, isn't it?
And there's people making assumptions, but I believe in the work that and you've obviously seen some of the work that with the connections with THD, things are starting to change. A lot more straight people are coming forward, where as before they didn't, because they felt as though they were ostracized because they didn't fit into a group. When I was first diagnosed, even before you before me, there was, I felt as though there was nothing for heterosexual people.
Yeah.
There was that loneliness, and as much
isolation.
As for my gay friends, there was nothing. And it's so good to see yourself and many others now coming forward, speaking out, because we deserve, everyone deserves to have a voice living with HIV, regardless, and to speak that voice with pride and with determination, that we all want to see change for the flippin' future. For our children,
We want our children to grow up
in a world different to what we grow up in, the stigma and the discrimination. And we as people living with HIV, we have to have the right to use our voice to speak out, you're doing an amazing job. So I'm getting the wind
thank
up,
you.
Josh.
So thank you. Thank you so much, guys. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak my truth. I really, really
Come on again, Lexi. But I was going to say, is there a new cohort for the Terence Higgins Works and Skills? Okay. What's happening there? Is there any info you can give out to our listeners?
As far as I know, they're currently running one at the moment, because yes. I've been assisting every now and then. But as far as I know, they run regularly. They run regularly, and I believe the details will be either on the new community forum or the THT website. So, and as is all the details of the groups that we mentioned earlier.
Just THT.org.uk, isn't it?
THT.org. It is.
Yeah. So, coming to the end, we've come to the end. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been such an insight, hasn't it? So,
lovely meeting you, Alexi.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
And I'm sure our paths will cross very soon.
Absolutely. I look forward to that.
Good luck, Lexi, with that.
Thank you. Bless you, Josh.
So you've got last. So what's your next track? Your last track to choose? Do you want to introduce it?
My last track, which resonates deeply with me, is Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All.
Fabulous. Thank you once again. And yeah, this is Whitney Houston, great track. Thanks, Lexi.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM. You've just been listening to a wonderful interview that Josh and Sue did with Alexi Davis, a very courageous woman who's been through an awful lot. But in the same, we did do a little disclaimer before the interview. After this interview, I think we must point out that the only thing that stops HIV from replicating inside the body is antiretroviral treatment. And if you make any decisions about, you want to change your medication or come off your medication, always do it with medical advice and under supervision of your doctors. Some people do have treatment breaks. Yeah. Some people do have salvage therapy where they go into treatment with they've had previously. Mm-hmm. But please don't do anything, you know, without checking with your doctors. Just for safety's sake. And every patient is different. Every patient responds to things differently. Yeah. Sometimes the side effects can be intolerable for some people. But please do, you know, that the science is there. U equals U has proven that successful treatment will prevent you passing on HIV to anybody else, and you will live a normal lifespan. Yeah. So,
yes. A lot of help and support, isn't there, David?
Yes, so there much. Is. Yeah.
So, seek it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and beg for it if you need it. You know, there is lots of stuff, you know, out there to help you make the right, correct decisions.
Yes, do.
About
your own
treatment plan. Yeah.
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 Well, amazing to have the interview.
It was. Yeah, it was. Very positive. Yeah, what a journey.
Ash has turned it into a positive thing. Amazing.
Yeah.
You listened to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, DAB, and RadioReverb.com. We are sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies and funded by the Brighton Rainbow Fund.
We are indeed. Thank you to both of those.
Thank you
so much.
Still here because of them.
Yes. Yeah.
Give them a shout out. So you've got we've got a few stories now.
I'm going to be very brief now. We've got some hot on the press, as they say. We've got the new data out from the UK HSA. I'm just going to briefly go through this. Maybe we can go talk about it in a bit more depth in another programme. But the new data today from the UK HSA shows the steepest rise in HIV diagnosis among heterosexual men and women, particular for minority groups, showing a 45% rise in 2023 compared to 2022.
Really?
Now, that's a bit of a steep, isn't it?
I wonder what the causes that is behind it.
The data shows that overall number of HIV diagnoses first made in England has seen a 15% increase from 2,451 in 2022 to 2,810 in 2023. 98% of people with diagnosed HIV on treatment are visibly suppressed. That's great news.
It is, yeah.
That is great news. Yeah. Okay. But testing overall has increased, with testing in sexual health clinics increased by 34% since 2009, which is great, and gained by sexual and other men who have sex with men. But the GBMSM has fallen 10% in heterosexual men and 22% in bisexual women. You can get the full report on the government website. Right. That is just a tipple.
It's difficult.
Interesting. I wonder if like post COVID, people are starting to have more sex and getting to socialise more. And is that a rise in it, or is it a gap in education? Does it say what sort of age group these people are?
It will do in the full report.
In the data, yeah, dig deeper.
As coming from a heterosexual woman, I am not surprised. Mm. Right? From a heterosexual perspective of this data.
Well,
you know,
the message isn't going out there then.
To heterosexual people, something's not getting out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm. We're still, you know, maybe some of those communities and maybe still thinking it doesn't enter their community.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a heterosexual man or heterosexual woman, maybe some of the older generation, which is still thinking, I know it's like a broken record, David. Back in the 80s, when we seen the two, I know we repeat this, don't we? Mm. But hey, the stats don't lie.
Something
is not working.
Yeah, something has to change.
We can look at this in a bit more detail another time. Yeah.
But just to go on from that, just to go on, Sheffield A&E are implementing life-saving HIV and hepatitis testing. So
brilliant.
So it's a new government scheme to offer routine opt-out
Great. Tests. Yes. Right.
So that's kind of
good.
Because it was rolled out as a pilot study, is it? Now it's starting to be adopted by other
ANEs
across
the
country. Fantastic.
So it started on the 1st of October. It's part of a new government scheme aimed at early detection and treatment of newborn viruses.
Yep.
So there you go. So it's obviously this is a good thing to
a very good positive thing. Yes.
Mm. It's got to be done.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So also we the NICE HIV sector.
Do you want to talk about it, David? So NICE, which is the National Institute for Clinical Excellence, which is the body which produces guidelines for which treatments are available within the NHS, they've published draft guidelines, but they don't recommend the use of long-acting injectable form of PrEP, which is cabotegravir. I think we've mentioned cabotegravir
on the show.
It's
part of injectables.
So cabotegravir injectables are used for HIV treatment, but they can be used for PrEP as well. So you can have your injection, and then you don't have to think about taking a pill combination of PrEP before having sex. And it stays in your body much longer. Charities and communities and healthcare professionals were deeply disappointed by NICE's decision not to recommend cabotegravir. But they do recognise that injectable HEP PrEP is a valuable treatment option. However, I mean, I looked at the data, the sort of response from NICE, and it's the tablet versions of cabotegravir are about £600 a month for a 30-day box.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you want the injectable version, it's like £1,200 a month.
Do you think it's more of a money thing?
I think it's money. I think the NHS, we've all got to sort of tighten our belts a little bit, I think. And I think if you can take PrEP in tablet form, then take PrEP in tablet form. And if not, there's always condoms, or dare I say,
if used correctly, right size, right fit, as I tell my schools there. Right size, right fit, right lubrication, David.
We'll
prevent HIV.
I was an outreach worker in the 1990s, and the only tool we had in our arsenal was condoms and dental dams or abstinence.
Wonderful.
Dental floss.
Dental floss. I suppose it could come in useful.
That's a long time ago.
I've seen bikinis that are far off dental floss, but yeah. it's good that the charities are saying, are campaigning to have the treatment cabotegravir as a PrEP injectable option. But I think we should be grateful for what we have already, and NICE have got to make some difficult decisions, haven't they?
But do you know, I believe in the future that will become more cheaper.
Yes, I think so. Without a doubt.
They'll get other formats on that.
Yeah, because the drug companies they have to put a lot billions of pounds into research and development. Yeah. And they've only got a 10-year time span with which to try and get the money in before they lose the patent and anybody else can make that medication.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think I remember there was a bit of a hoo-ha with Truvada, because Truvada, we know, treats HIV, and then they said, okay, well, this would be a great pill to use for PrEP. And then I think the drug company said, oh, actually, this is a different use. that means we can renew the patent. So again, it went from pennies to saying, if you want to use it as PrEP, then it's got to cost you more, which is a bit naughty, really.
It's all bureaucracy.
I think that it has changed now. So before anybody sues me, I think, Truvada is available more cheaply now, but it's still treating HIV, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just it's prevention rather than treatment, but it's treatment as prevention.
Was it TASP?
Is that what it used to be called? TASP?
I believe so.
Some of these things sometimes when they get developed, they have to go on the back burner for a bit until it's time.
Like these gene therapies that are £1 million a shot. Yeah. In time, economies of scale, it'll come down, but. It's great that we have 2-month-long lasting injectable forms of PrEP.
Yes,
I suppose if people really want to do it, they can maybe get a private prescription and do it. I don't know how that works, but we'll leave it there, I think.
Watch this space.
Radio Reverb.
Fine. Radio Reverb. So yeah, that's a good story. So I've got. Did you want to say something, Stu?
Oh, did you want to go before me? Or?
No, you can go next.
Oh, go on then. Oh, well, I just thought, I know Steve, one of our own, was on the show a few weeks ago, wasn't it? Or a month or so
Steve
ago.
Hart, yes.
Steve
yes.
Hart, one of our own, I call him.
Yes.
Them, one of the presenters. I just wanted to do another shout out. He's touring the UK with his one man show, Shadow Dreamer. And I know a load of us are all going up on the 9th.
Yeah, we are all three of us in London.
Now, I just wanted to do another shout out to anyone that's interested. So his show on the 1st of November and the 2nd of November in Glasgow. So if there's any Glaswegians out there or anyone that's travelling up to Scotland round about that time, do go and see his show. 9th of December and the 15th of February, his shows are in London.
Yes.
And March the 20th, February the 20th and the 21st, he's touring in Manchester.
Yes, he is.
And March the 20th next year in Cumbria.
Fantastic.
Cumbria. So, I mean, if anyone knows about Steve, his story is compelling. Mm. His journey is just breathtaking. Mm. And how he's come inside of the tumble dryer and out again. no, and still standing and shouting. And, my goodness, what an inspirational person. Mm. Every time, Josh... Every time I hear him speak, because, you know, he does the positive voices talk, he inspires me every time he speaks. Oh, my goodness, how are we still here? You know, but he's determined to get those messages out. And he so does deserve a mass celebration for his...
Yeah, and we're very lucky to have him as a presenter.
I know, I just want to do another shout out for him, if that's
right. Yeah, so there's information on... He has a website, so it's www.shadowedreamer.co.uk. There's a little biography, there's a trailer to the show and the dates and links to where you can buy tickets. So please do tell your friends. I think it's about an hour and a half show, I think.
I can't wait to see him, actually.
Honestly, so it's I mean, I don't want to plot spoil. I don't know the full story. I mean, I've heard him speak as a positive speaker. But he's been through it since from birth to present day, and he's now.
But you know, he first done it many years ago in America, and it was a sold out show. It was one of the biggest on Broadway or something.
And did you? So it was off Broadway, but did you know that he funded that entirely by himself?
I know.
Because he thought it was such an important message to get out there about his journey and his story and how he overcome some of the challenges he faced. Is that he funded it all himself.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, go and see him if you can. Yeah, definitely. So there was Wes Streeting, who is our health secretary, isn't he? Our new health secretary.
He
sat on the 2020 HIV Commission, and he was speaking at the Labour Party in Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. The reception focused on how the government can work to end new transmissions by 2030.
Yep.
He said that he's proud that such an early stage have been able to show how serious we are about this agenda on sexual health. So he's kind of sounds like it's big priority for him.
Prevention is always better than treatment, isn't it?
Well, there's more than 150,000 Mpox vaccines the government has secured.
That's good.
So as cases around the world are rising at the moment.
Is it still on the rise?
I think I saw yesterday there was some outbreak in America in a prison or something. He also said we're in a position to make a real difference, historic difference, the chance to stop a virus without a cure and without a vaccine. Never before has this been done in the history. He also went on to say it wasn't going to be easy and admitted that the country is currently not on track to end HIV transmissions. Is that, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? Is that across the world that...
The UN goal is to end new cases.
No, but a lot of countries on track or are they not? Do you know?
Not all of them are.
No, if you look at the Fast Track Cities website, just search the internet for Fast Track Cities, you'll see all the cities that signed up to share resources and information. Because every city has different kind of populations that are affected in different ways. But the UK is doing very well. Actually, it's very surprising. You'll see some what are considered to be developing world countries that are doing much better than what are considered to be more developed countries. different novel ways of approaching mm-hmm. things. But have a look at the Fast Track Fitties website. That sort of gives you a global picture of where people are on the 90-90-90 targets.
There's also UniAid's report, mm-hmm. which in July, which yeah. reveal why some countries are on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Other nations are falling short, like you just said, David, with yeah. lack of funding, yeah. discriminatory laws, stigma.
War.
War, yeah, absolutely.
Conflicts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, the, just before we finish, they highlighted that the number of people diagnosed with HIV in 2023 was lower than any point since the late 1980s, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And that more than 31 million people are receiving antiviral therapy. Mm-hmm. Also, but he said, however, also noted that some key demographics are still not being reached by prevention services.
Yeah, exactly.
Criminalising laws.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of work to do, really, still, even, you know, 5 years to 2030.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge, but we've just got to put everything in there as much as we can.
Have the will to do it. It's
absolutely
achievable.
Yeah.
It's like you said, Sue, you know, I've got it's you have to keep pushing them, saying the message all
you
the time.
You have to.
Keep doing it.
Because so often people forget what you say, and I'm a one to keep reminding them.
Yes, and so should.
And I think we all should. I think you mentioned it as well, David, didn't you? You were...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we've come to the end of the show. So just a little bit, our friend Joshua Royal, he's got a calendar out, hasn't he, David?
Have you got the HIV, the Naked Truth.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's got a naked calendar with some celebrities, and that's raising money for Positive East in London, a fantastic grassroots charity. So if you search the internet for HIV, the Naked Truth, the calendar is available to buy now. A great stocking filler.
Yes.
No pun intended.
And he's doing a fundraiser in the Lodge Box on the 29th of November.
There is, I think, tickets are still available. So again, check the website, HIV, the Naked Truth. That's one of us. Another big community news.
Lodge Positive Well, Lunch Positive's on tomorrow, isn't it, at 12 o'clock at the Dorset Methodist
Church. And then the first Saturday of the month they have their Eastbourne group meeting, so go to lunchpositive.org to find out more about that.
Yeah, this,
Jim Stanford's doing it.
Yeah, Gary said there's a lot on this week, so check out their website, lunchpositive.org.uk. Guess what?
Well,
we've come to the end of the
show. No! Really? Oh, I was enjoying myself.
Just to say, if you want to email us, it's, I get this wrong. David, you're
it's
good at this.
info@hivhour.org.uk. And we love hearing from you. If you've got ideas you want us to cover on the show, please do let us know. If you've got a story that's you think it's important to share, please
do get
in touch.
Some good stories coming up soon, aren't they? Thank you for listening, and we finish on a great track again, Ordinary World, Duran Duran. But have a good weekend.
Yeah, take care, everybody.
Bye, all.
Keep safe.
Bye.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.